That's how important Easter is. That's how profound, how essential, how central the Easter message is to our Christian faith. It is the foundation on which our faith exists. You don't have a choice when it comes to believing or not in your Christian faith, whether or not Christ died and rose again from the grave. It is essential to your Christian faith. We have to believe it, or else our faith is in vain. And that's what the Bible says. I want to give to you some quotes just to emphasize that thought, just how important the resurrection of Christ is, how important Easter is to our Christian faith. This one by Henry Moore says, "The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. If the resurrection did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God, and the Christian faith is absolute truth." John MacArthur says, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the single greatest event in the history of the world. It's so foundational to Christianity that no one who denies it can be a true Christian. A person who believes in a Christ who was not raised believes in a powerless Christ, a dead Christ. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then no redemption was accomplished at the cross, and your faith is worthless. As Paul goes on to say, you are still in your sins. For if Christ was not raised, his death was in vain, and your faith in him would be pointless, and your sins would still be counted against you with no hope of spiritual life." Another person says, "Let us all thank God that we have such a cloud of witnesses to prove that our Lord rose again. The resurrection of Christ is the grand proof of Christ's divine mission. He told the Jews they need not believe he was the Messiah if he did not rise again on the third day. The resurrection of Christ is the top stone of the work of redemption. It provided that he finished, or it proved that he finished the work he came to do. And as a substitute, he overcame the grave. The resurrection of Christ is a miracle that no infidel can explain away. Men may carp and cavil at Balaam's donkey talking or Jonah in the whale's belly if they please. But until they can prove that Christ did not rise again, we need not be moved. Above all, the resurrection of Christ is the pledge of our own. As the grave could not detain the head, so it shall not detain the members. Well may we say with Peter, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The resurrection of Christ is one of the foundation stones of Christianity. It was the seal of the great work that he came on earth to do. It was the crowning proof that the ransom had been paid for sinners and was accepted, the atonement for sin accomplished, the head of him who had the power of death bruised, and the victory won. That was R.C. Ryle. Listen, you hear those people talking. You get the sense, don't you? The overwhelming sense that Easter is vital to our Christian faith. The death, the resurrection of Christ is vital. It's like one steel cable that holds all our faith up. I tried to think of a good illustration of that. I was reminded of in Tennessee, when you go there at Gatlinburg, they have this cable car that you can ride on that will take you up the mountain. I'm not sure what you call that. What is that called? can't think of the correct name for it. But anyways, you can get in this thing and it'll take you up the mountain, and you are held up by one cable. And I remember thinking, boy, that's a whole lot of weight on one cable, all these cars. If that one cable was to break, the whole thing would come tumbling down. In fact, that did happen here. Did y'all see that on the news about a year ago? A cable car broke and killed everyone that was on there. But it's the faith is like that one cable that holds, or the Easter is like that one cable, the resurrection like that one cable that holds our whole faith together. And if we take away the resurrection of Christ, you take away Easter, and the whole thing will come tumbling down. Now, what we have said so far is, why does Easter matter? Number one, we said it matters because it is the evidence of God's love. We talked about that last week, remember? It's the evidence of God's love. God proved His love for us. You know, you could say to each other, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You could say it a million times, but what does it matter if there's no proof to back it up? If there's no actual evidence that you love, then it's just lip service then, isn't it? It's just words being spoken. It's just our tongue moving at that point. There's no evidence of it. But Easter is the evidence that God proves His love to us. He says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and let me show you how much I love you. I'm willing to die. I'm willing to send my Son, and He is willing to take upon your sin to be nailed to a cross, to die in your place. Holy and righteous sinlessness of Christ was willing to take on our sin. Easter matters, number one, because it is the evidence of God's love. And number two, it is the proof of God's forgiveness. It's the proof of God's forgiveness. A few weeks ago, I did something that I hadn't did in 15 years. I went and got some pictures developed. Have you gotten pictures developed any time lately? I thought back how long it's been since I got a set of pictures developed, and the last time that I got pictures developed, I took my camera in and pulled the roll out and gave it to them and said, here, would you print these pictures for me? But ever since then, we've had digital everything, and so it just goes into a computer or a storage electronic device somewhere, and we really don't get any pictures printed anymore. But I had a picture that I wanted to get printed, so I went into Walmart, and rather than give them the roll like I did before, you plug your smartphone in now, and they have a touchscreen thing. And so I did all that, and I got some pictures printed there, and got the pictures, and really took no time at all, and paid for the pictures, and I got a few other items as I was there. You know, you can't go into Walmart just for just one thing, can you? It's kind of like Costco. You just can't go in for one thing. But I got a few other items, and I got my buggy, and I went out the door, and I loaded all the things into my car, and I thought, you know, I'm going to be real good today, and I'm not going to just push my cart there in that buggy holder. I'm going to take it all the way right up to the door. That way somebody can use it and it's not out here and some guy has to take it all the way back up. So I did all that, got in the car, went home, unloaded all the groceries, and guess what I realized? I forgot the pictures. You know, there's that little place where you put the kids in the buggy? And that's where I put my pictures, and guess what? They were still right there. And so I called Deborah on the phone because she was in town. And I said, you got to get over to Walmart quick. I said, I've paid for these pictures, and I don't have them. And so I told her, I said, now I put the buggy right there, and I gave her the location of where I pushed this cart. And I thought, you know, it probably will still be there. It didn't take her 5 minutes to get there. But, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. And because I pushed it up there, well, somebody just grabbed a hold of it. That's the one they want to take. And there went my pictures. So she got there and they were gone. So she went to the front desk and she told them, you know, that I had purchased these pictures and that if they turned up, please let us know. We'd like to come and get them. And so, wouldn't you know, about a week later, I got a phone call from Walmart. And a little guy on the line says, is this so-and-so? Yes, it is. This is me. Well, I got good news. Your pictures are done. Oh, they are. They're done, are they? Yeah, your pictures are done. They're here waiting on you. And I said, well, I've already purchased those pictures one time before. I've already had them done. I said, somebody must have brought them back to the back of the store there and turned them in. And he, of course, they just filed them and thought I hadn't paid for them yet. And I said, I explained my whole story. I'd been there. I'd paid for them, that they were my pictures. I just needed to come pick them up. He said, well, prove it. And I said, well, I know which day I was there. I know they're my pictures, And he said, but you need proof. You need proof that you purchased them already. So it's been a week. I had to dig around trying to find my receipt. Fortunately, I was able to locate my receipt. But the receipt is the proof, isn't it? The receipt is the proof that I made the purchase. That those pictures, they're still there. They're owned by me. I made the purchase. The debt has been paid. Whatever they cost, it's been paid off. And as long as I got that receipt, I can prove it, can't I? That's what the resurrection is for our atonement. It's the proof. If you just go with the cross, you just go with Jesus dying, but there's no resurrection, it's like the purchase had been paid, but then there's no receipt. And the resurrection, friends, is the proof that the atonement was accepted, that the penalty was paid for. It's the receipt that we have that our sins have been forgiven, that our sins have been paid for. The Bible actually uses the language that there's a cost to sin, doesn't it? There's a price that had to be paid, just like there was a price for my pictures. There was a price for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you were bought with a price. There's perfect example. So glorify God in your body is what the Bible says. Again, 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought with a price. So do not become again a slave to men, it says. Listen, Jesus purchased you upon the cross, didn't he? He purchased you with his own blood, with his own self there upon the cross. Redemption has a price. Sin has a cost. Your sin has a cost. And Jesus was willing to pay that cost upon the cross. The Bible tells us the cost of sin is death. That's what God says, that sin, the cost of sin is death. For sin to be forgiven, someone has to die. Now, in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice lambs, wouldn't they? Animals, goats, doves. These animals were sacrificed over and year after year, year after year. And that was the atonement for sin, wasn't it? But it wasn't a complete cleansing. They had to continue to do that, didn't they? Year after year, they came back. And they would offer a sacrifice for the atonement of their sin. And what it meant was that for the sin to be paid for, something had to die. There had to be the shedding of blood. And that builds right into our Christian faith, doesn't it? That Jesus is our sacrifice. That He was willing to die. And that His life had to be in exchange for ours. The Bible says, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. The cross is God making a payment on our behalf, sin and death, our debt, that God made for each one of us. Have you ever been at the grocery store and someone offered to pay for you? I don't know if you've ever had that happen. I've never had that really happen to me. Now, I have had that happen at a McDonald's line one time, that someone in front of me paid for me. And Randy, I'm glad you weren't behind me, because I passed it on to the person behind me. But if your family was behind me, boy, that was going to be a big bill. But I was number, I don't know, she told me 19 or 20 that had come through that line, and they were just passing it on. She said, "Do you want to keep it going?" And I think I said, "How much is the bill?" And I did. I kept it going. I kept it going like that. But I have been at, I think it was about a year ago, I was at Walmart, and I was checking out, and I just happened to notice beside me, looked like a young mother or young lady was checking out there, and she was digging in her purse, digging. I thought, she just can't find what she's looking for. She can't find any of the money. And she didn't have a whole lot there. And I had just checked out, and I had gotten some change. And when I went by that cashier, I said, "How much is it?" She said what it was, and I said, "Here, keep the change. Merry Christmas." And I paid her debt. Now, I'm not boasting. It wasn't a whole lot, trust me. She didn't have a whole lot there. But this idea of someone paying for you, this idea that you get something and you didn't have to pay anything at all, that someone was willing to make that payment for you. And that is the picture of Jesus. He makes the payment for us, doesn't he? We really don't have the ability to even make the payment. The offering has to be, for sins to be forgiven, it has to be an offering that is perfect. And even if we could give our life for our sins, our life's not perfect, is it? We have too many blemishes. But Jesus was perfect. He was able to make the payment for our sin. And he did so upon the cross. He paid for us. Isaiah 53 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed." Isn't that the perfect Easter verse? With his stripes we are healed. I tell you, friends, when you look at that cross, you should see the sacrifice that Jesus was willing to make on your behalf. He was making a payment for your sin, for my sin, for all the sins of the world. Upon the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin. And the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ, is proof that our sins are forgiven and that we are justified. That's what our scripture says there. Look again at verse 25, "Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification." You know what the definition of justification is? It's just as if I had never did it. That's how you remember it. Just as if I had never did it. I'm justified before God. It's just as if I had never committed the sins at all. The penalty, the payment of those sins were paid for, and we are made just before God. Now I'm going to give you one more grocery illustration. I've given you two already. You know, when you're paying for your groceries, if you're like me, you got a debit card, and you put that card into the reader, and it says a couple things there. First of all, it'll say processing. And then it'll ask me for a PIN number. I'll put that in. And then it comes up and it says authorizing. And then after that, it'll say one of two things, either accepted or denied. If it says denied, you just reach in for another card. Keep going. You just keep going till you get one that works. But this processing, this authorization, and then this acceptance, the transaction is complete. And when I look at the cross, when I look at the resurrection, rather, the cross is kind of like that processing. You know, the payment is being processed. For 3 days, he was in the grave. And there was this authorization that took place during that time. Was that sin acceptable? Was that sacrifice acceptable for all of our sin? And then comes the resurrection, and that is the one that says accepted. It's accepted. The payment for sin was accepted by God. And now are we just before God because of the death and death of Christ? 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. But because Jesus was raised, we can be sure today, friends, we have the guarantee, and we can be certain that our sins are forgiven of us, that the payment has been paid, it has been authorized, and it has been accepted." Amen?
Amen.
It's been accepted. Hebrews 9:12 says, "He entered once and for all into the holy place by means of, no longer by means of blood or goats or calves, but by the means of his own blood," the Bible says, "thus securing eternal redemption for all." Listen, he made that sacrifice. It was accepted. It's no longer the blood of goats or bulls or any of those things, but it was through the blood of Christ Jesus that he has made redemption for all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for the death, the resurrection of Christ. Right here at Easter, Lord, we're reminded again just how important Easter is to our faith. Lord, you leave us no room to question whether or not that you were truly risen from the grave. But Lord, if we are to be believers, if we are to be Christian or called Christian, Lord, we have to believe in the bodily death and resurrection of your Son Jesus. Lord, thank you for the proof that we have been given, the assurance that we receive through your Son coming alive again on that third day. Lord, we thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. We praise you now for its many gifts. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, there's going to be a change in your hymnal, our selection here. We're going to go to page 229. So let us stand and share together here. Our God Reigns, page 229.
No mountains are the feet of men.
that a wonderful hymn? Our God reigns, doesn't He? I love that. You just read through that last verse again. He's not in the tomb anymore. He rose. Our God reigns. He is alive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You again for the Easter time and this Lent in which we can again just be reminded of how wonderful You are to us. Lord, the salvation that we have received and just how vital and important Easter is to us. Lord, we say a prayer for the meal that will follow after this, the meeting as well. Lord, just pray that You bless the meal to the nourishment of our bodies. Lord, we pray too that You be in and through our meeting, Lord, and that Your Spirit moves within our midst. And Lord, that we continue to seek and follow after You in all that we do and say. Bless us, I pray, in that meeting and in our fellowship time together. I pray many stay and take opportunity to fellowship with the brothers and sisters here at Moscow. Bless us, I pray, the rest of this week. Just be with us and watch over us. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.